Cross court.
Oh, there it is.
Houston down low to McCoy. Slam dunk. What a great play.
Coach, I kind of asked the kids the same question I'm going to ask you. This is probably the best team you're going to see the rest of the season. How much confidence does this help the guys going forward, knowing that they took this team to basically the brink?
We lost. But we pushed them. How much will that help us? I don't know, bro. I don't know. I think this game will be history pretty soon. We'll be worrying about Reno and worrying about Boise State, who had a great win, a conference win for us, beating Oregon with a long shot to win it. And I mean, those guys, you know, your next opponent will be more of on the forefront. But I don't think these guys lack for confidence. I think they have played at a high level, you know, majority of them. And I think they're solid people that love to compete. So I don't think that'll be a problem.
Marvin Menzies in last night's post-game press conference answering Magnum's questions by saying a great game like that against a Pac-12 team that in the preseason was ranked number 2 nationally isn't really going to do much for the running Rebels. Not sure I agree with the coach there, and I don't think his players feel the same way either, as you'll hear in a bit. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and here helping to create this oxymoron is future Nevada Hall of Fame producer Magnum.
The moron part right.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, see, you open the door, I walk in.
What do I mean by oxymoron? He spends 1 hour every Sunday morning keeping me in line while making sure the show is always out of line. Semantics aside, we are here and Vegas strong in the Fox Sports studios every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. We are also streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Network. Our social media handles on Twitter, the page is at Out of Line 1340 AM. And you can find, like, and follow the Facebook page, which ironically is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Callers are welcome to try calling in. And depending on the time of month, Magnum might even let you through.
What is that supposed to mean?
The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai. That's after the fact, man. Between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. Today we'll tip things off talking Runnin' Rebel basketball. Last night was the most entertaining game I have seen in a long time at the Thomas and Mack. Both Magnum and I were there, and we'll give you our perspective, Coach Menzies' perspective, and you'll hear the interview I did with literally the biggest star on the team, 7-foot freshman center Brandon McCoy. In a little less than 1 hour from right now, the puzzle that is the college football playoff picture will come into focus. Almost everyone who knows anything about the way this thing works says the picture is already 3/4 clear. However, it is the final piece of that puzzle that has us all buzzing and contemplating since the Big Ten championship game ended last night. Two guests that will be joining the show shortly to give their thoughts, Emily Van Buskirk and her partner in crime, Kaylee Krish, co-hosts of the newest and coolest sports podcast called Sideline Sass. These ladies know and are qualified to hook you up with information that will make you the expert at your selection show party. And coming on the show for the first time today to help out with Nightcap is Vegas Golden Knight Radio Game Day co-host Clayton Hamilton. Stick around for a tragedy that became a heartfelt blazon. And once again, our NFL picks of the week are literally kicking every handicapper's ass. That is, unless you know one doing better than 76% on the season. So if you're throwing some pigskin picks down, you might want to put your pillow away and pay some attention. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
All right, another lost opportunity. However, there was growth. I mean, you know, it's what it's all about, getting better, but it's also about winning. And we fell a little short of our goal tonight. I think the community was proud of our effort and the fans that came, you know, saw a good game. We competed against a top 10 caliber team, regardless of the record. We just fell a little short at home, which is not fun. Doesn't feel good. And there's a lot of individual accolades that could be statistically thrown around, but we didn't win the game. And all these kids came here to win. So we've got to tighten up some things. We've got to keep growing, keep getting better. And we will win going forward. We need to take care of
Marvin Menzies in the post-game press conference last night. Mags, we sat there, we watched the game. I was incredibly impressed with UNLV against this team. And you know something? The backcourt, when I look at the statistics, has really laid an egg in the last two games at Northern Iowa and again last night. All seven of Jordan Johnson's points came from the free throw line. He went over from the field, and of course we know Javon Mooring again. Not as much hero ball yesterday as we're used to seeing from the guy, but still enough that hurt them, and especially at the end of the game, although Menzies said he called that play.
Well, he did and he didn't. I think, you know, for starters, yeah, the backcourt last night was, if they get a better game out of the backcourt, they win the game. You know, the reality is, I looked at the statistics, and From the floor, Jordy Johnson and Jovan Mooring were, I believe, 2 for 17 combined shooting the ball from the floor last night. You're not going to win a lot of games against really good teams when your two guards are shooting like that. I understand Jordy Johnson is a pass-first point guard, and that's exactly what you want. Jordy Johnson is a general on the floor. That team thrives when he thrives. You could see that already early in the season. But, you know, I don't like to dwell on the negatives. I mean, look, there's so many positives to take away from last night. And, you know, Coach kind of dissed me a little bit when I asked that question. And that's fine, you know. But I felt watching that game and looking at the body language of Brandon McCoy while he was playing, the confidence factor went way up with that team last night because they now believe that they can compete and beat any team in the country. Because let's be honest, they should have won that game last night. And you can say, well, Arizona, yeah, they were a top three team preseason. They're not playing that way. Look, that's still a really good basketball team with a top five pick center because that kid they have who is playing center for them is going to be a top five NBA pick.
DeAndre Ayton
is going to be, he may be the number one overall pick
I'll tell you what.
In the NBA draft. I mean, he was that good. He could do whatever he wants with the ball. He's got a great touch. He's big. He moves really well. You know, I came away from that game being more impressed, I think, with Brandon McCoy than I had been in the previous few games because Brandon McCoy, he had a great game. And, you know, I know some people after the game were focusing on the fact that he had six turnovers. Look, he's a big guy. He's young. Sometimes that's going to happen. He's going to learn from that. But he had, I think he had another double-double. What did he, 31 and 10?
33 and 10.
33 and 10. Shakur Justin, again, was unstoppable on the back. When he was coming along the baseline on the back door, unstoppable. And, you know, the last play in regulation, I think Marvin kind of spoke to it in the press conference that he kind of wanted him to go to the basket. And he said, you know, he doesn't know why he didn't, but he got caught up in the moment. And you know what? I think the sad thing is I don't think there was one person in the building last night who didn't expect Jovan Mooring to take that shot the way he did. You know, I still don't understand why Jordy Johnson doesn't touch the ball. You have 9 seconds, put the ball in the hands of your best distributor and go for the best look. I know some of the players said after the game that, you know, they wanted Jovan to have the shot because, you know, he's a senior, it's his team, but I think you have to have a better look than what you got. You can't be shooting an off-balance three when all you need is a basket. All you need is one of your bigs underneath laying it in, and you win the game.
Mooring, I think, thought he was on last year's UNLV team, and he had to play hero ball again at certain times in the game. Like I said, I don't think he played it as much. I saw an absolute great move where he penetrated from the baseline and dished it off to Justin for a slam dunk. That was nice. We need to see a lot more than
a pass he had to Clyburn in the corner where Clyburn drained the three.
Excellent. And he's getting better and more acclimated with his teammates, and I think we'll see more of that over time. The guards have to play better. And, Mags, real quick, we talked about at the top of the show, we heard you ask Menzies a question. You asked the same question to the two players in the press conference, which were Brandon McCoy and Shakur Justin, and this is the way Shakur Justin answered your question.
This is for either of you guys. You guys took a team that a lot of people predicted would be a Final Four team, basically to the brink. This is probably the best team you're going to play the rest of the season. How much confidence does this game give you guys going forward?
Honestly, I believe we are a Final Four team. We just got to come out and play hard every possession, every minute of every game. They just matched our athletic intensity. It was just the mirror of us. So, I mean, when you get other people that play just like you, it's going to be a good ball game. We came out with our strongest punch. I believe we came out second half with a strong punch, too. They just hit some tough shots. You can't beat that. You can't fix that. We was defending them. We was in their stuff, and they just hit shots.
I'll say they hit shots. They hit enough shots to win it. UNLV had an 11-point lead at halftime. Arizona was just better down the stretch.
I think
better.
Arizona shot like 62%, 63% in the second half.
They did, and they were better.
They didn't miss a free throw. And you know what's crazy? They didn't miss any free throws until overtime.
Yeah, they were exceptional from the line. You know, it was nice. You talked about Brandon McCoy and his development. Man, he was perfect from the line yesterday as well. And when you see that, that gets you pretty excited overall. Not he wasn't perfect from the line, but overall, well, I guess he was 6-6 from the free throw, from the charity stripe. That's huge for Brandon McCoy. I really like what I'm seeing for this team going forward. After the game, I talked to Brandon McCoy for a minute, Mags, about this team going forward, about his excitement for the Arizona game, and how good he thinks this team is.
Hey, Brandon, coming off that Arizona game, second loss in a row, but you guys again fought hard, another overtime loss. What does it say about the character of this team?
We just don't ever quit, you know. Arizona's a great team, and they have a great coach, and, you know, they play really hard, and we just know that we can match with anybody in the country. You know, they're projected to be top five in the country. You know, I feel like we can be top five in the country.
Talk about the adjustment halftime. You guys come out 11-point lead in the first half. In the second half, it seems they made some adjustments and seem to be a lot better inside.
They start getting the ball more to DeAndre and stuff. He's a great player, so he was making tough shots. And we just couldn't make shots. Actually, we made shots. They were just a better team at the second half.
Down the stretch, when you guys are going down the stretch, it's a tight game. What are you guys talking about on the bench to keep it together, not let a team like Arizona get away from you or get into your heads?
Just keep doing what we was doing in the first half, matching intensity, just playing hard on defense, and just going hard.
Two games now lost in a row, but however, you got 6-2 record. You're going forward here. You put this one right behind you and look forward immediately.
It's next possession, next play. You know, it was a tough loss, but we know we got to go back in the lab and go on the drawing board and just get better tomorrow.
Final question, 8 games in. How good is this team?
I feel like we can go as far as we can take ourselves, you know, whether it be not to the tournament or to the Elite Eight, Final Four, National Championship, whatever. I feel like we're a great team, and, you know, we just got to keep it going.
Love to hear it. Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir.
You know, Mags, I love the confidence, but it's crazy when Menzies said it didn't do a lot for him playing that well against Arizona. It almost sounded to me like the players felt they won the game. You play a Pac-12 team that started the season ranked number 2 in the country. You play them to overtime. I don't care that Arizona lost 3 games already. This is a quality basketball team with 2 NBA players starting for them in Trier and that other guy that we talked about, Ayton.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, man, Arizona can make a run come NCAA tournament time, and this, to me, is a stepping stone for the Running Rebels.
Yeah, absolutely, and let's not forget their point guard, Carter Jackson, he's a really good college player. He may not translate to the NBA, but he's a really good college player, and, you know, he played 42 minutes of that game last night, and, you know, it's like he very quietly had a very good game, and, you know, I think the key was, you could see that these kids, they were tired, you know, because let's be honest, they had an overtime game on Wednesday in Cedar Falls, Iowa, which is a place nobody wants to go. You know, they got back really late on Wednesday night after that game. They had class Thursday and Friday, practice on top of it. You know, I think these guys now feel they can beat any team in the country. And you heard Shakur Justin say, we think we're a Final Four team. Now, I don't know if they're a Final Four team, but that UNLV team last night looked like an NCAA tournament team.
What they look like, Chris, is they look like they can play with anybody in the country on any given night. And that is something we haven't seen here at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas in a long time. And just the atmosphere, the excitement. You know, I was going to say it's been a long time since I've seen that kind of environment or that kind of excitement, but it was actually the last time they played Arizona.
Yeah, but it
wasn't the same team by any means.
No, but, you know, I think there was definitely excitement. You know, last time they played Arizona, I was overseas, so I wasn't even there.
Oh, man, it was cool.
But, you know, I mean, We've been here before with the run of Rebels in the last decade. You know, since Lon Kruger left, we've had teams that compete with the top 10 teams in the country. You know, Dave Rice beat North Carolina. You know, we've had these types of teams play here at Thomas and Mack. The key for me will be they went to Northern Iowa and they were a bad call away from winning that game. You know, let's call it what it is.
They were a bad call away from winning that game.
Yeah. So That was the toughest road test for them, and I think that they passed it. Even though they lost the game, they proved that they could play with a really good team. Because Northern Iowa, if they were in the Mountain West, they're probably the second or third best team in the Mountain West. I'm not expecting UNLV to go to Reno and beat them. I'm not expecting them to go to Boise and beat them. But look, they can play with those guys. And the confidence they have gained from these two games, despite them losing, I think it's going to bode well when they get in the conference play. Because let's be honest, it's people dog on the Mountain West. They say it's not a very good conference. It's not an easy conference to go play on the road. Playing in Albuquerque is not easy. Playing in Laramie is not easy. You know, maybe San Jose State, who cares, you know? Air Force is always a tough game on the road at Clune Arena. That team plays unbelievable at Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs, tough place to play.
7,000-foot elevation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how they respond going forward, I think they'll come out, they'll crush Oral Roberts. And the key for me will be how they play against Illinois.
Next Saturday, yeah.
I think they will beat Illinois. I really do.
I do, too. Illinois,
Brad Underwood is a fantastic coach. He was a guy I wanted here. So he'll have the Illini ready to go.
I agree with you 100%. I think Illinois, if they can win the next two games handily, they'll start being considered again for the nation's top 25. Listen, we got to go to break. On our way to break, though, you know, one of the things that I've had a question about, the last couple games, we have really seen this team see five players get a lot of minutes. We kept talking about how deep this team is. They're potentially 11 players deep. Really, it has been five players. The only guy that got over 10 minutes besides the five starters was Anthony Smith, and it was five. He got 11 minutes. That's it. I asked Coach Menzies about that in the press conference, and this is what he had to say about that.
Yeah, their minutes are always controlled by whatever I feel like I need to do that game to win, you know?
Yeah, kind of going along those same lines, Coach. It seems like now your starters are getting the vast majority of the minutes.
Well, these two games. But I'm not by any chance settled into any rotation. You know, we have a competitive practice, and we have depth, and we need to – my guys know that, you know, the games are mutually exclusive of each other, you know. Oral Roberts could be something different.
Oh.
This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact, in a little over a half hour, we will all find out, I guess it's a little over an hour, we'll find out who gets the final golden ticket to the college football playoffs. Also a fact, for the second week in a row, Emily Van Buskirk, host of the hottest new sports podcast, Sideline Sass, and lead college football and basketball writer for the sportsfanjournal.com, is here to try and help us figure out who will get that ticket, Ohio State or Alabama. This, I thought, was clear to me, and now I'm a bit torn. To me, Alabama has one loss, and it was to their primary rival, and we're 2 weeks removed from knocking off a number one Georgia team. And in 2016, didn't the Ohio State Buckeyes get in even though they didn't play for their conference championship, and the team that beat them won the Big Ten Conference Championship that year? So I thought the committee's decision in 2016 would come back to bite them in the ass. Plus, Ohio State got whipped at Iowa, and bottom line, they lost two games, and Bama lost one. But now, I'm second-guessing myself, because Ohio State, no question, has a tougher schedule and much better wins. Plus, one of the wins Bama is resting on is a win over Fresno State, who had a cup of coffee in the top 25 until they lost yesterday in the Mountain West Championship game. And hey, by the way, UNLV beat Fresno State the road.
Did not belong in the top 25. They, you know why they were there. They put them in so Alabama could have that top 25 win, hoping,
of course,
which is a joke.
Of course.
They were a three-loss team.
Well, Max, what I'm saying is I hope the committee keeps saying what they've been saying, that the conference championships carry a lot of weight. And Alabama didn't even win their division. Emily, what are you making of this now? We were texting yesterday, and I'm going to hold to my laurels. I said, if Wisconsin loses the Big Ten championship game, Alabama will find its way back into the college football playoffs. I'm not going to waver. What do you think?
Oh, I got to say, I like that Fresno State conspiracy theory. That's something I have not come across yet, so that was interesting. But I think that you ultimately are right, that Alabama, as much as I hate to say it, I can't make a substantial argument to keep them out over Ohio State just because I don't like them. That doesn't hold up. I mean, I think that they're still going to get in with all the things that you mentioned. And we've been poring over these statistics, strength of schedule, losses, who's better than who. And ultimately, for some of the guys in that room, it's going to be an eye test. And Alabama usually passes that with flying colors. So I think we're going to see Alabama in, and we're going to have a whole lot of uproar from the Big Ten fans.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Urban Meyer would vehemently disagree with you, and here's what he has to say.
I think our strength of schedule, quality wins is phenomenal, and we're conference champions. Once again, two wins over top four. I don't know if anyone's done that. Two wins over top four teams this year. Another blowout win against the 12th team in America. And so we played three top five teams, and we won two of them. So I got asked a question, you know, just this amazing how important this playoff is and how the whole world revolves around it. I hope we get a shot.
Well, you know what, Urban? There is another team that has wins over two top 10 teams. How about over two top five teams? How about over two number one teams? Didn't Auburn beat Georgia and Alabama? Although their three losses is keeping them out, but Ohio State's not the only one that did it.
That's absolutely true. And that's a good point to be made, because you can't really say that. But my question in all this is, being a West Coast person, where's the USC conversation? I understand nobody gives any respect to the Pac-12, but they're sitting in the same situation where they're 11-2 in their conference championship, and they beat a really good Stanford team. So where are they in all of this?
You know, it's funny, I have that in here, Em, and what I'm saying is right now, and I'm going to stand by this, this year more than ever, and I know a couple of years ago we were screaming about just getting a playoff for college football. They gave us one. They granted us one. It's under our Christmas tree. We have four teams now in college football playing in the playoffs. But me, I said from the beginning, you got to have eight, and here's the reason. Eight teams allows all Power 5 conferences to get their championship team in the playoffs. Then you can also have an underdog like Central Florida, who is 12-0 and undefeated. They would go in as the 8th seed. They would get pounded by the 1 seed, but at least they would have the opportunity, and then you would have two at-large bids. And how perfect would that be this year? Because those at-large bids would go to USC and to Ohio State. And yes, you would have a one-loss Wisconsin team on the outside looking in, but you know what? You lost to Ohio State in the conference championship. Somebody's got to be left out, and I think the world would be okay with that. Or you'd put Ohio State in rather than UCF. But I'm telling you, eight teams, right? Got to have it?
Yeah, you know, in the beginning, I was not for it. I thought four this year was a good indicator, especially given all the parity between the teams at the top. I thought, okay, this is finally the argument to keep four teams because it made conference games so much more
important. It made people sit up and pay attention to certain games because they knew there'd be playoff implications with only four spots. But I have to say, what you're saying makes a whole lot more sense. I just don't ever see the committee trying to make sense like that. So it's hard to believe it'll come about, but that makes more sense than what they're doing right now. So I agree with you.
No, 100%. And Emma, I'll tell you this, we're, of course, short on time because we had technical difficulties here. And the last person I want to rush off the line is you, because I love what you have to say. But I got to tell you this, David Shaw killed his Stanford team in the fourth quarter. And you know, on that fourth down, why the hell you wouldn't kick a field goal there? I thought he must have been on the phone with Jim Caldwell in Detroit, because what in the hell was he thinking? At the end of the game, they're tied rather than losing that game. I think he cost them the game, although I still think he's a decent coach. I love what Bryce Love did on one leg, man. Very, very impressive. But USC should at least be being talked about. It's almost a crime that they're not. The Pac-12 is a power conference. Even though I think everyone will agree they might be the weakest of all of them this year, they're still a power conference, and I'm surprised they were not talked about. And the last thing I'm going to tell you, and you can leave us with your thoughts on this, Jimbo Fisher is really getting $7.5 million a year for 10 years to coach Texas A&M. I mean, yes, Jameis Winston helped him win a national championship at Florida State, but are you flipping kidding me? $7.5 million for Jimbo Fisher? What's this world coming to, Emily?
Honestly, nothing about the coaching carousel surprises me anymore. I wake up and read different things each day, and all I know is that David Shaw is still at Stanford, and that's what's very frustrating for a lot of us in the Pac-12, is that very play call you're talking about is classic vintage Shaw, where he will just do something that he thinks is right, regardless of, you know, whether or not looking at all the angles. And when it's not right, he'll still defend it to the end, saying, I made the right call. In the post-game press conference, he said, you know, that was the right play. That was what we wanted. It just didn't work out. Well, you know what? A lot of things didn't work out this year, David Shaw. So what are we going to see different next year?
Well,
that's my question.
Yeah, good point. And last thing I'll say to you, and we'll let you go, is I love that kid, Caden Smith, the tight end for Stanford. Yeah. I think is just going to be a beast at the next level. Whoever gets him is getting some special kind of player. And that nothing against Bryce Love either, because that guy's going to be great. Emily Van Buskirk, you got to check out Sideline Sass. That's with three S's. S-S with an extra S. That's it. Check her out, and also at sportsfanjournal.com. Appreciate you, Em. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We're out of here. We got a break. We'll be right back. And we got to get Clayton Hamilton, Vegas Golden Knights Sport, and we got to get to our blazing here on Fox Sports Radio.
Corner. Smith gets to it. Up top, Nate Schmidt. Right point. Shooting. Tip into the goal. It's Carlson. 2-1 Vegas. William Carlson scores his 14th goal.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
It is time for Nightcap, and joining us to help us out with Nightcap today, first time on the show, Clayton Hamilton. He's the co-host of Vegas Golden Knight Game Day Radio. Clayton is the pregame show in between periods and the postgame shows, and he also hosts a show over on our sister station, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game, the Joe Fan Show, and that is Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. Clayton, appreciate you, man. How you doing this morning?
I'm angry and fired up because you're absolutely right. People should be talking about USC.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the bottom line is as a Power 5 conference, they've got to pick up their play. You know, I mean, Wisconsin got left out with one loss. You know, it's hard for anybody to complain, whatever the committee did, but they're not going to talk about them. You know, Clayton, you can mention them, but they're not getting considered. It's two teams being considered today. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk to me about this, the Golden Knights right now. They win 5 in a row, and then they lose 3 in a row, and it seems like the puck is definitely not bouncing their way. And I know one thing that's got to make everybody happy is Marc-Andre Fleury is skating again.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury was on the ice yesterday. And what's even more exciting about him being on the ice is who he was on the ice with, and that was goalie coach Dave Pryor and David Perron, who was giving him some shots. So it's good to see that Perron, who's been on the shelf for a few games, was back out on the ice, and that Marc-Andre Fleury was working with Coach Pryor, because in the past we had just seen him sort of skating laps and sort of doing things on his own, but this was the first time that he was a part of an organized drill.
What do you think, Clayton? Projected return?
It's tough to say with concussions because you can always have a setback. Gerard Gallant had initially said once he's out skating with the team, it would probably be about a week or so. I'm out here in the parking lot at City National Arena getting ready to go in for morning skate at 9. So I'm hopeful that I'll have some more information later today to be able to give you on the pregame show.
I'm going to be listening. I love what you guys are doing, and you guys have really picked up the puck. You've picked up the puck. You and Ryan, the hockey guy, taking over for Frank. Frank did a lot of work last week. I was texting back and forth with him. If he's feeling better, he's going to come on the show and do Nightcap next week. What are you hearing? How's Frank doing?
Frank's doing great, you know, slowly starting to heal, and you know how Frank is, he's a tough guy,
I know.
So he's not one to complain, but he'll get back in soon enough.
Clayton, I got to tell you, you got to feel like you kind of have an angel on your shoulder. It's my understanding you and Frank would carpool to a lot of the games and to a lot of the events, and for some reason, I don't know what it was, but you weren't with him the day of his accident, and from the side I heard the car got hit on, we might not be talking right now.
Yeah, it would have been right in my grill, that's for sure. But yeah, just a fortunate situation for me. But all the thoughts for Frank for speedy recovery.
Always. You know, last night, I don't know if you heard, but there was a James Neal and a Sage Salmon sighting at the UNLV basketball game. I'm looking at the guy Neal sitting next to, and it just looked like an older spitting image version of him. I said right away, that's got to be his pops.
Yeah, good old James Neal. It's nice to see he's really ingraining himself into the community. And that was one of the questions with him coming in. There's a lot of extraneous talk about how long he was going to be here, whether or not he wanted to be here. I mean, this was a guy that played for the Stanley Cup last year with Nashville. And, you know, to come to an expansion team, there was sort of some thoughts that perhaps he didn't want to be here. But hey, he has been nothing but a champion for this city, and has talked about how much he loves being here. And he might be a guy that was looked at to be traded at the deadline, but with this start, he might be a guy that they look to sign to an extension.
I hope so, and I hope when the trading line deadline does come up, the Knights are in the mix and entice him to stay, because he would be one guy, I would think, at 30, going on 31 years old, that would probably be swayed, because, you know, if he can win another Stanley Cup, man, anyone's going to try to go. But, Clayton, you know, other than the record, you know, which is without question a surprise, what has surprised you most about this expansion team?
What really surprised me is people taking the opportunity to become a different player. And it really makes me think about a guy like William Karlsson. William Karlsson was buried on the fourth line in Columbus, got a little bit of run on the third line. But here they've looked to him to be a first-line center, a power play guy, a penalty killer, and they've really challenged him to expand the type of player that he is. And he's responded on all three units. And that's really the key of this team. There's a bunch of guys who other GMs had said, this is your role. And now when they get here, there's a blank canvas to reinvent themselves as a player. And they have done that. Cody Eakin comes to mind. Here's a guy that was a 20-goal scorer in Dallas, had an off year last year, was sort of buried on the back line. And he's gotten run with the second unit. He's gotten run on the penalty kill. So there's a lot of those guys with those stories. Derek England comes to mind, a guy that was just a pair of fists in the past, and now he's taken on a leadership role, this sort of unofficial captain, and is really probably, you know, he's had his best offensive year, and we're 25 games in.
Oh, no question. It's funny, as you mentioned Derek England, I was writing him down on a paper here saying, you know, our adopted local, this guy has really made the best of this opportunity. A guy that I think, you know, Clayton, I said at the beginning, I was amazed that they used an expansion draft pick on him when they could have gotten him through free agency. And I think he really appreciated that. And we're seeing that on the ice. We're seeing his appreciation for him really going out and playing his all. And I like that a great deal. A prediction ahead, Clayton, I know it's a long way off. We're watching this team. Now, granted, they lost their three games. They're still in second place in their division. Is this team going to make the playoffs? And again, very hypothetical. We got a long way to go. But from what you're seeing,
I think they have a strong case to make the playoff. I think it's going to get tougher before it gets better. And when they run into teams maybe a second, third time, the book is out on them. But getting a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury back will be very helpful. Getting more games for a guy like Malcolm Subban, who even in the last two losses probably played his two best games. Just when you look at the rest of the West and the Pacific Division, a little bit weaker on the downside this year, I think they have a shot to hold on. I don't expect them to win the Pacific Division. They might not even come in second. But if they can hold that third place spot or one of the two wild cards, I think they're going to be relevant come the last 2 weeks of March.
I agree with you 100%, and I think it's extremely cool that we're having this conversation because I never thought we would, being honest, to have this kind of success from an expansion team, especially in light of what happened here October 1st. It is a really cool and special thing that we are seeing at T-Mobile Arena and with the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Clayton, I really appreciate you joining the show. Enjoy practice. I'll be listening to you tonight. I won't be out there, but I'll be at the next home game after this one. Thanks, my friend.
Anytime.
That is Clayton Hamilton, and that is Nightcap here on Out of Line. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. Well, I'll tell you what, we got a special blazing today brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial High School. I shouldn't say Centennial High School. It's actually Centennial Hills Hospital, and they have two happy hours every day. There's no place better for wings, beer, and sports. I'm there every Monday night, hosting the best Monday night football party in Las Vegas. Come on down tomorrow night and check out the Steelers at the weak Cincinnati Bengals. But blazing this week, how about at South Carolina State Mags? I don't know if you heard about the player yesterday that collapsed at 10 minutes to go in the first half. His heart stopped. This is the coach talking about it, so you get a little idea. But what's blazing is he's okay, and he's in the hospital right now.
He is awake. He's stable. He's talking, and they're still running tests on him to find out exactly what happened. Truly a horrific moment, one that will not be easily erased from anybody's memory in the arena today. And I just want to tell everyone that prayer still works. There's power in sports that we cannot measure, and I often say this to our team, together we win. And because of our first responders, our athletic trainer, not hesitating at all, saved a young man's life today, and I just thank God for everyone that was in place during that horrific event.
Yeah, that is incredible. And once again, South Carolina State senior guard Tyveris Solomon had to be resuscitated by the trainer yesterday after his heart stopped during the game against North Carolina State. He was rushed to the local hospital. As you know, he's awake and responding. And it just brings back scary memories, Mags, like Hank Gathers, Reggie Lewis. Man, when you see something like that on a basketball court, it just literally the heebie-jeebies, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's even been some soccer players who've collapsed and died during games. It's one of those things. It's tragic, you know, and a lot of times it's unpredictable. You know, I think with Reggie Lewis, I know there was some indications that
drugs.
You know, he was having issues. But, you know, as far as, like, this young kid, you know, let's hope he makes a full recovery. And, you know, I mean, it's tragic to think, you know, a young man, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old, could have, you know, serious issues like that. But
seriously, man. You know, you just, you know, Hank Gathers tried coming back for it. You think maybe, you know, you just got to hang up the tennis shoes at some point in time. Real scary. Mags, we're almost out of time. We are smoking on our NFL picks. So I'm going to let you go first, man. Who do you like today, brother?
All right. Well, I'm actually going to go tomorrow night. I think the Steelers are playing well. I was leaning towards the Packers. I think they're playing better, but I just think Pittsburgh, they're playing with a purpose right now. They came out last week. They struggled a little bit, but I'm going to go with Pittsburgh laying 4.5 against the Bengals.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh screwed me last week. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans, 6.5 points at home against the Texans and Savage's quarterback. I think that's a no-brainer all day long. I'll have Dewey's picks for you. We are on fire, over 76%. That's excluding me. We're 70% with me. Hey, this is Out of Line. I want to thank everyone for joining the show today. Want to thank Brandon McCoy, Marvin Menzies, Emily Van Buskirk, Clayton Hamilton, my producer, Magnum. Hey, we're here every Sunday, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. See you next week.